James 1:1. Okay, good. Well, let's just commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed God, Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can gather in your name. We're thankful for your presence with us. We're thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit who helps us to understand it and take it in. And we're thankful for the fellowship that we enjoy one with another. And so, Father, I just commit this time to you for your guidance and blessing. And I pray that each one of us will get a blessing from you tonight as we consider your holy and precious word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to start by reading a little poem that is a favorite of mine. Things go wrong as they sometimes will when the road you're trudging seems all uphill. When the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, and every one of us sometimes learns. And many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late, when the night came down, how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint in the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It might be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're the hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. Tonight we're going to be looking at the topic of endurance and perseverance and steadfastness. As James outlines this to us, we read here in this first passage that God allows difficulties so that we'll learn to walk in the Spirit. The Lord gives us the endurance to persevere, but we have to learn that truth by experience. I suggest to you that's the lesson that we're going to get out of these verses tonight. We're going to look at joy. We're going to look at patience, sometimes translated endurance or perseverance or steadfastness. We're going to look at asking for wisdom, and we're going to think about a remedy for doubt. So let's just read the passage first. I'm just going to be looking at the first 8 verses. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So when I read this passage, when I first read it, and I was starting to look at this passage in preparation for tonight, I was taken aback a little bit when he says, "But brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Yeah, King James says, "Fall into various diverse temptations," because sometimes if we don't do well in the trial, it becomes a temptation. And I started to think, well, what is he talking about here? Are we supposed to, you know, when we bang our finger with the hammer and it really hurts, we're supposed to say, "Oh, well, that was great." I mean, is he asking us to lie? Or how can I count all joy when problems come? I'm going to read another little song you might know. It's called Don't Worry, Be Happy. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord said your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry. Ha, 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 ha. Be happy. Look at me, I'm happy. Ain't got no cash. ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry, be happy. Because when you're worried, your face will frown, and then you'll bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Is that what God is saying here in this passage? I don't think so. That might be good psychological advice. I mean, if you're in sales or you're going to communicate, you're best off if you smile, right? But that's not what he's telling us here. I suggest to you that the joy of the Lord, he's talking to us about the joy of the Lord. It's only something that Christians can know. It's a lot different than just putting a smile on your face. It's a lot different than just being happy. Here are some verses that we have in Scripture about the joy of the Lord. I think he's talking here in this passage in James about the joy of the Lord. In John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. And then in Romans 14:17, we read, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and joy in the Holy Spirit. Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. And then in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness. In Nehemiah 8:10, we read, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I believe and I suggest to you that that's what he's talking about here. And God allows trials in our life to test our faith, to produce patience. But I suggest that he allows difficulties in our life so that we'll discover what it means to walk in the Spirit. It's not unlike in Psalm 119, and I believe it was verse 113, where the psalmist says, I thank you, God, for the difficulties because they force me to go to the Word of God. And here he's saying that when we have trials in our life, the testing of our faith, it will produce patience. So right here we learn that patience is something, or endurance, we'll get into that, it's sometimes translated endurance or perseverance. This is something that we learn. We don't get it automatically. It's something that God teaches us. Suffering is part of the Father's plan. For those who follow Jesus, we expect to experience the sufferings that are common to all humanity, accidents, health crises, pain from broken relationships. We expect a little more because we follow the suffering servant. And the Father does indeed mature us through hardship. And as we suffer, our hearts are exposed. We can see where we put our trust in people, money, pleasure, power, or in God. And that's the benefit of suffering. It's not necessarily the cause. And the belief that is hard for us to shake is that God wants to make our life easier, and he's eager to shield us from the hard things in life. But in fact, when we look at Scripture, we see that we're actually promised tribulation. In John 16:33, he says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Bit of a paradox here, isn't it? In Acts 14:22, we read, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. And then in Romans 5, verse 3, we have actually, I suggest, a parallel passage where he says, not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Tribulation produces perseverance. And in fact, the ESV pronounces that endurance, translates that endurance. So, trials produce patience, / endurance, / perseverance. Because when we look at the different translations, bear with me here, it's interesting. In the New King James and the King James versions, is knowing that the test of your faith produces patience, but let patience. The NASB says endurance. The ESV says steadfastness. And the NIV says perseverance. So when I read my Bible and I study my Bible, and I get these different translations, it's a clue for me to check out a little bit what's happening. And I don't know Greek, but I know how to read books and dictionaries. And I found out, I discovered this for the first time in reading this and studying up for this passage, that in fact, the word that is translated endurance, patience, perseverance, is the Greek word, pardon my pronunciation for those of you who know Greek, hupomone, Strong's 5281. And it's the notion of having patience with circumstances and endurance. And we get it, and we get it particularly, we recognize the text in Hebrews 12:1, let us run with endurance, same Greek word. On the other hand, there's another word that is often translated patience, and it's macrothumia, it's long-suffering. That's got more the notion of patience with people. And we have that as one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. So two different words, but they're similar. And the good news is that the Lord teaches us these things, and we learn them through the Spirit of God working in us. In Romans 5:5, we read this, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So that's the key. Unbelievers don't have this joy. They don't have the possibility of knowing this perseverance and this endurance because it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So difficulties make us turn to God, and we seek out his will for our lives, and we learn what it's like to get his resources for our life. So that's the advantage of having difficulties. You say, well, Brian, I'm not that keen on having difficulties. Well, neither am I. But in fact, we're not just fair weather Christians, right? We're Christians because in difficulties, the Lord becomes even more real to us, and we see his provision, we see his help. And in fact, at the end of it, this is what we read in Romans 5, he says, we rejoice because now we know that Christ is real. He's real in our life, and he's helped us through. And that's the advantage of difficulties and having the Lord's strength in our life. Now we move on to this other interesting thing. Passage in this passage, he talks about wisdom. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So what is he talking about here? What's the context here when he says that we can just ask God for wisdom? He's going to give it to us. That's the promise. But how are we supposed to put this into practice? What does it really mean? Do we have any examples in the Old Testament? Do we have any examples in the Bible? Well, we think of Solomon. We've just been through Proverbs, and we know that Solomon asked God for wisdom to rule the nation, and God gave it to him. And then I looked at Proverbs 8 with you, that God never did anything without wisdom, right? We read that in Proverbs 8. So we need wisdom. And wisdom is not simply the accumulation of knowledge, but it's a dependency on the Lord every day. And I'm going to suggest to you that the key here is to want, number one, it's to want to do God's will first. To get God's wisdom, God's not going to give us his wisdom just so that we can be a smarty pants and be better than others, right? He's going to give us his wisdom to do his will. And I suggest to you that that's our problem. That's our challenge. Because most of us, we have a problem wanting to really trusting God to do his will for our life, right? So we say, yeah, we'll do God's will, but maybe not in this area, maybe not in that area. I'll let you figure that out for yourselves. But that is my problem. I can dedicate my life to Christ. I want to do his will. But tomorrow, guess what? I got to do it all over again. Because my sinful nature comes up and says, I want it my way. And I want to do my will, right? I don't know if you can identify. And we can easily make idols. You see this throughout Scripture. One writer said that the heart is an idol factory. Calvin said the heart is an idol factory. We produce idols. And so we have a hard time really wanting to do God's will and selling ourselves out to do God's will. But look in Scripture. We think of David. A couple examples from the Old Testament. David was a man after God's heart, right? He's the best king they ever had until the Lord is going to come and be their king. It says in 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them. 2 Samuel 2:1, and it happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up in any of this, and so on. 2 Samuel 5:23, and David inquired of the Lord, and he said, you shall go up. So we see this time and time again, that David inquires of the Lord. And so it is in our life, when we have opportunities before us, do we sit down and say, God, is this your will? Is this what you want me to do? And do we really want to know what God's will is? That's the key to having wisdom. Here's some more examples, just going through some of them quickly. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, Solomon, this is a familiar verse to us, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So we have many examples of this phrase, this nice phrase, seeking the face of God. I suggest to you that that's what we need to do if we want God's wisdom. We have this in 2 Chronicles 14, we have King Asa. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord of their fathers. In 2 Chronicles 19, we have Jehoshaphat. Nevertheless, good things are found in you that you may have, and you've removed the wooden images from the land, and you've prepared your heart to seek God. And then we have Hezekiah. In every work they began in the service of the house of God, in the law and the commandment to seek his God. And he did it with all his heart. Now my sec here. And then we have Josiah, 2 Chronicles 34:3, for in the eighth year of his reign, he was still young, he began to seek the God of his fathers. So we have this beautiful description in Chronicles and in Kings. In Chronicles, we have these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 good kings in Judah. And why were they good? Because they sought God. They sought to do his will. And some of them sought them with all their heart. So there's the challenge. Is that how we're, if we seek God's wisdom like that, then he's going to give it to us. But if we're not serious, if we're just playing a game, well, then guess what? He's going to play a game with us, I suggest. We can't. God is not mocked. So we have this wonderful promise here. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. But the context of this is being truthful with God, seeking to do God's will, wanting to do it. And then we have the word of God that comes in and helps us. Now I invite you to turn to Psalm 26. Psalm 26. We're just reading this today, actually. And it fit in with this notion here, because he says that we have to ask in faith, no doubting. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the sea. Don't let that guy think he's going to get anything from God. He's double-minded. So what's the remedy for being double-minded? I believe we have it in Psalm 26, verse 1. It says, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. New King James says, I shall not slip. The ESV and the NASB, NASB, they say, I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. And then we go down to verse 12 in Psalm 26. He says, my foot stands in an even place. And the ESV and ASB NIV says, my foot stands on level ground. On level ground. And that reminds me of Psalm 1, where we have the man of God who is planted, right, by a tree. The man who meditates the word of God day and night, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So how do we combat doubt? Well, we have to have stability. We have to be planted in the word of God. We have to be sure on our feet. If you think of almost any sport where you've got to hit something, if you play golf or if you're a batter or if you're going to throw a ball, you've got to be sturdy on your feet, right? Well, the same with God. We have to be sturdy on our feet. We have to be firmly planted in the word of God. If we're not really serious about wanting to do God's will by his grace, and if we're not really in the word of God, we're not going to be sure of anything. But if we are, we will be certain of what we're doing. And God will direct us because he wants to help us do his will. He doesn't want to help us to do any old thing, but he wants to help us to do his will. So that, I suggest to you, is the key for the antidote to doubt. And that is, one, we have to really want to be doing God's will by his grace. And then we have to soak ourselves in the word of God, and God will direct us. And he'll give us, it's a promise. The word of God is a light to our path. God's not playing games with us. He'll direct us. He'll give us clear direction if we're serious. But if we're not, then yeah, we'll just be like, we'll be tossed to and fro. So that, I suggest to you, is our lessons for tonight, that God allows difficulties so that we'll learn to walk in the Spirit. And the Lord gives us the endurance to persevere, but we have to learn that. It's not the Holy Spirit working in us is not a magic wand sort of thing. He wants us to understand, to learn, and to put into practice our faith in daily life, in the reality of life. And it's in those circumstances that we'll prove that God is in us. The secret for us to persevere is to know and experience the joy of the Lord, to know God, and to know something of his joy from his Spirit. And the joy of the Lord will be our strength. And then he'll give us that endurance, that perseverance, one day at a time, to hang in there and to not quit, right? We don't quit. The Lord gives us commitment. The Lord gives us strength to continue. And then he gives us wisdom when our goal is to do his will. And we take the time to seek his face and we ground ourselves in the word of God. And this nice little verse in Galatians 6:9 came to mind. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. And we won't lose heart because the Lord is with us. Shall we just close in prayer? Our blessed God and Heavenly Father, we're so thankful. Thankful for the Holy Spirit that is in us as your children. We're thankful for the joy of the Lord that you put in our hearts every day. We're thankful that we only have to live one day at a time, and you give us the strength to do that, and we can persevere. And we can persevere in many situations, many tasks that you've given to us. And if we persevere, we will one day reap. And so, Father, we thank you for your promise. We thank you for the life that you give us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.